We'd like to approve the agenda. Are there any additions or changes, Mr. Baker? There are no modifications by the council. I will call for a motion to approve the agenda.
No moves.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the agenda. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Approval of the minutes. No minutes to be approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We have two items, a letter from the town of Ellendale thanking council for a grant that they plan to use to organize and process town documents, and a letter from the retired senior volunteer program thanking council for a grant for one of their programs. That's all the correspondence.
Do any council members have correspondence they'd like to share?
I do. When I came in this morning, I had a letter on my desk from Deborah Schultz, 59 DeVries Circle in Lewis. I'd like to read it.
Ms. Deaver, you have the floor.
On January 6, 2009, the County Council voted to ask the Planning Commission to submit a memo to the Council outlining any conflicts between the Commission and the Council. The Council was particularly concerned to know if there was a problem with the County's ordinance and or the 17 provisions of the Subdivision Code, which give the Commission a basis for consideration of the subdivision applications. And she cites page 8 in the minutes. On February 18th, the commission agenda included possible ordinances, in quotes, for conditional use approval, preliminary subdivision approval, staff-approved subdivisions and street design standards, and she cites page 3 of the planning and zoning agenda for February 18th. According to the minutes of that meeting, Mr. Robertson will make revisions to the proposed ordinances based upon the discussions, and revised possible ordinances will be submitted for review at a later date, again citing the minutes. The minutes included no discussion of these ordinances. I would like to see the proposed draft language for these ordinances: conditional use approval, subdivision approval, staff approved subdivisions and street design standards, and for any other general code ordinances being generated and or revised at this time.
Do any other council members have correspondence? If not, I'll turn the meeting over to Ms. Webb, our finance director.
Good morning. We gotta get set up. Patient, just a couple minutes. I would say just light over the screen. Then that would be a reflection. That's good. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Susan.
I think everyone has a handout. You got one in your packet, and I did put one at your place this morning, and there are some available to the public on the PowerPoint. Then Gina Jennings will be passing them out. Also, a couple of weeks ago, you received the financial statements, the big set, in your packets for you to go over and review. So after my presentation, if you have any questions you'd like to cover, we can do that. I am going to be reviewing the comprehensive annual financial report for Sussex County for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2008. And I'd like to welcome our auditors today from the firm of Jefferson, Ryan, Doan, and Sterner, Gene Schmidt and Elaine Grays, and thank you for your help. And recognize members of the accounting department, Bina Jennings, our accounting director, and her staff. They work very hard in the audit, keeping up with the regular work and the audit work for a couple of months. Bill Townsend and Jeff James, and Kathy Roth, who can't be here today. She had a family emergency. And David Baker for his support. The audit is 170 pages, so I couldn't possibly cover the whole thing in a presentation today, but what I'll try to do is cover the financial highlights. The financial statements are a snapshot, like a picture, of our finances as of June 30, 2008. And I do appreciate that there are new council members on council, so I will try to make an effort to explain this report as easy as I can so that you can understand. Our report's a little different from a typical audit. We want to be recognized as a government that prepares a better financial report. So we go over and beyond what's required for an audit by producing a certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting. This report is submitted to a grading agency, the Government Finance Officers Association, who judges it based on criteria and gives out this award. Their certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting allows the public finance profession an opportunity to recognize governments that have succeeded in preparing a high-quality report based on their criteria. We feel this recognition is a positive factor by credit rating agencies and other professionals in government's finance function. So what sets this report aside from a regular financial statement, it has a bunch of sections, an introduction section, which is like a financial narrative of the numbers of the financial statement, a financial section, statistical section, and the single audit section, which is the audit of our federal funds. We think it gives a reader a broad, comprehensive overview of our county, not only with the finances, but with statistical information. For instance, one of the schedules in the statistical section is on the top 10 employers. So why that's not financially related, it does give information about the county, and it's a good point of reference for you. From fiscal year 02 to fiscal year 07, the last 6 years, we've received this fiscal year, this award, and we will submit again for fiscal year 2008. Since we answer to the taxpayers, we are encouraged to prepare a better financial report. And this award is specifically designed to encourage state and local governments to prepare and issue an annual financial report of the highest quality. And we think this is essential if governments are to be accountable to their citizens and to others with an interest in government finances like our bondholders. So that's a little bit of background on comprehensive annual financial report. We also refer to it as the CAFR, if you ever hear that. We'll start out with our independent auditor's report. This audit report is based on the accumulation of the audit process from our auditors, and it's based on the health of Sussex County's finances. And for our June 30, 2008 audit report, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the governmental activities, the business type activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining fund information of Sussex County, Delaware as of June 30, 2008. This is an unqualified, clean opinion from our auditors. I'll start out with a couple of statements. This is the balance sheet for our governmental funds. Two funds in our governmental funds, our general fund and our capital projects fund. The general fund is your typical general fund, what you would think would be in county government. It's where the tax dollars comes in, realty transfer tax, the inspection fees, permit fees, and then the corresponding departments or expenses would be the paramedic department, treasury department. It's everything except sewer and water revenues and expenditures. The Capital Projects Fund is an offshoot of the General Fund, and it is where we account for projects that take typically over a year to complete. An example of this would be our EOC building, where we worked on the EOC building for 2 or 3 years. That's where we account for those expenditures. We'll shoot down to fund balance. $101 million was our fund balance for fiscal year 2008. This is decreased by $4 million from fiscal year 2007. Of this fund balance, $7 million was unrestricted and available for spending. However, $3 million of this was designated for future expenses. And an example of this would be the open space program, where we have set money aside to fulfill prior obligations for open space. So that is unreserved, but yet it is designated as a subsequent year's expenses. Note that under fund balance, we have really transfer tax funds that are restricted of $67 million. Now, really, these transfer tax funds are restricted for special use. You've probably heard this before. Public safety, capital, sewer, economic development, public works, debt. Of the $67 million, $40 million in the general fund and $27 in the capital projects fund. Over time, we have been putting realty transfer tax money, transferring it over into the capital projects funds to meet our capital improvement plan. And for a note to make this relevant to this year's budget, in 2009, we had over $18 million of expenses that were eligible for realty transfer tax reimbursement, meaning we could use over $18 million of the realty transfer tax funds for general fund expenditures. This is a statement of revenue and expenses and changes in fund balance, what you would think of an income statement equivalent. It's also a good time to note that these are summary totals. For instance, taxes at $34 million. In the back of these financial statements is all the detail that makes up that $34 million, the different kind of taxes or the different kind of charges for services at $10 million. So you'll want to refer to the detail.
I have a question, Mrs. Webb. Was the press issued any of these documents? Did the press have a press kit today?
We don't issue them until they're presented to council.
Until they're presented to council?
Yes.
Okay, and then it will be
and
issued?
And they're like, we'll have like a motion to accept the audited financial statements.
I understand. Thank you.
We'll also be available on our website.
Okay. Right, but after today.
After today.
And we have a press release, and all okay. This would be. So they don't have my information right now, but they will today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Again, we have our two governmental funds, the general fund and the capital projects fund. We had total revenues in the general fund of $56 million, total expenditures of $52 million, and other financing uses of $6.6 million. In the capital projects fund, we had total expenditures of $9.5 million. This is what we spent on capital during the fiscal year 2008, our major capital projects, and I'll have more detail on that later. Under transfers and under capital projects, transfers in $4.2 million. This was realty transfer tax funds that we budgeted in the capital projects funds to use to continue on with our capital plan. So basically, after all our revenue and expenditures and our uses, financing sources uses, we had an excess of expenditures over revenues of $3.3 million right there, decreasing our fund balance. Here's more detail of revenue by source for the governmental activity. The pie chart shows really transfer tax, no big surprise, as the largest governmental revenue, equaling 35% of our total general fund revenue. This was $21 million. This is $6 million less than what we received in fiscal year 2007. Realty transfer taxes rose sharply over recent years, and then in 06, we started to see a leveling off. In 07 and 08, it dropped. The second largest revenue, property and capitation tax at 21%, this equals $13 million. And to put that in perspective to our total general fund, our paramedic department is $13 million. The third largest revenue is charges for services. This week, where we account for some revenues that are sensitive to the economy, like recorder deeds, building permits, buildings inspections, and these were down $2 million. This is a reflection of the continued downturn of the real estate market locally, as well as what we're seeing nationally. Here's a more specific look at realty transfer tax. We use this when we do the budget, too. As you can see, the increases over the years, leveling off 05 and 06, and then the decline, and that's where we're at right now, 2009. In 2009, we budgeted $18 million.
I have a question.
We're at $9 million. We're projecting maybe somewhere between 12 and 15 in the next couple of months.
In those years when we were receiving a lot of realty transfer tax, were funds set aside for so-called bad years?
Well, when we saw a couple of slides back where we had reservations of $67 million, we set them aside.
And the total is?
The 67 that's restricted at June 30, 2008.
Okay. Thank you.
I think we were one of the few, and the auditors can probably attest to it, because I've checked other counties that actually put the realty transfer tax, because it was a restricted use revenue, we actually accounted for it separately in its own account versus dumping it in the general fund, which I've talked to a couple other counties, and they can't put their finger on it like we can. Here's a bar chart of the general fund expenditures. These are actual expenditures, fiscal year 2008 compared to fiscal year 2007. Again, these are broad categories. For instance, finance, if you look in the back of the financial statements, there are individual departments that make up finance, like assessment, building code, accounting, and then more detailed specific expenses that make up that department. So for a point of reference, you'll want to look back. Most of them, as you can tell, either equaled last year, fiscal year 2007, or decreased as we realized that our budget expenditures had to be reduced. The paramedic did have a large jump in 2008, but we're up to 8 units, so we have a higher personnel cost. We had bigger fuel costs. That is a department that uses fuel with the diesel, with the truck, so that fuel cost hurt us in that budget. And we had 2 new station build-outs, so we had a higher fixed cost. Grant and aid programs is one of our larger budget departments, and here's some of the larger ones that I pulled out to show you, and this is 6/30/08 actual. Again, it's summarized in the back. Fire companies at $3.4 million, and this includes the BLS reimbursement, the grant, and the fire service fees. Sewer grants, $2.6 million, and these are grants to the new districts, Angola and Johnson's Corner, and the 100-foot cap fee. State and local police grant, $2.1 million. Open space program, $1.6 million, and this includes ag preservation funding, red and forest funding, and funding for the Great Marsh. Community grants is $780,000, includes discretionary human service grants, and our community assistance, emergency housing, and library grants to the local library. Grants do have a major impact on our budget.
One question about one minor matter. When the public schools have state police sometimes stationed at on-premises.
They're called resource officers.
Resource officers.
One's in my daughter's school, in middle school.
Correct.
Sad to say.
But they are state police probably, right?
One's a town cop. Mm-hmm.
They're what? Town police?
A town police. In this instance, I can't speak for any other schools.
Okay. Well, if they do have a state policeman, do we pay that salary or who pays
it? Well, we pay our...
No, we don't.
We don't pay that salary?
Not that particular one.
No.
Okay.
I mean, just a question.
Not part of our budget. Part of our contribution, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll look at our general fund expenditures as compared to the budget. So this is a statement of revenue and expenditures and changes in fund balance, budget to actual. We have the budget column and the actual column and then the variance. For revenues, we budgeted $54 million. We had actual 56, so we actually collected $1.2 million more than we anticipated. For expenditures, the budget was $56 million, the actual was 52, so we were favorable for our revenues of $3.4 million. We go down to the net change in the fund balance of $4.3 million in the budget. So we actually anticipated and used appropriated reserves in the fiscal year 2008 budget of $4.3 million for the shortfall. The picture that ended up with the actual was $3.3 million shortfall. So our revenues weren't quite as off as we had anticipated, and it was a more favorable outcome of by $1 million. Now, remember, this is just budget to actual. The actual is the 3.3. We budgeted 4.3 anticipated, but it wasn't quite the scenario. And basically, this was due, the revenues drop is due to the drop in the realty transfer tax. We talked about the capital projects fund earlier. We spent $9.5 million of expenses in that fund, carrying on with our capital plan. And some of these expenses were $4 million for land purchases, which include landfill buffers that we've been purchasing, airport expansion. We had $2 million library expansion, South Coastal and Milton Library, and $3 million airport industrial park improvements. Included our spire and stormwater improvements, the work we did on Deltek for the Deltek hangar, and finishing up the Emergency Operations Center building.
A question, please. We've been buying landfill buffers. I think that's great. Do we have the money set aside to clean up the dumps in the county, the six dumps?
We have the other studies that we've been doing.
Yes, we have money. We fund money each year for ongoing studies to monitor each landfill. And there, in fact, there is a liability in the audit report of $4.6 million that is noted in one of the notes in the audit report.
And we are prepared to do that, to clean them up. I'm not talking about sampling.
Well, part of our remedy is not to have to clean them up. We basically are managing them, I guess.
Mitigating them.
They're just dumps that were shoveled under, right?
No, there's been... there has been, Mr. Izzo is here, but he can better explain than I, but we monitor each groundwater wells. We had to take certain steps to cap the dumps or the landfills. They've been closed for years. And so we keep an eye on that. We've been purchasing property over time surrounding the landfills, you know, when it comes, particularly when it becomes available, if it's reasonably priced and whatnot. So. And we have been doing that for
the answer
years.
To your question is the, the answer to your question is yes, we've set aside over $6 million for potential liability, which could include cleanup. Our engineering department is working with various state and federal agencies to come to the best possible solution for those, which has in the past been providing central water for those who live close to that. I'm going to ask our finance director to continue to focus on our audit.
There we go. Sorry about that. We're moving on to sewer now. Statement of net assets for proprietary funds. We have 18 individual sewer districts, so this is the total here accumulated, and you can see the detail in the background in the back of the financial statements. Sewer districts run like a business. They're self-supporting. We set the rates to support the operation and maintenance charges. They do not receive general fund money unless it's through a grant program. The largest of our sewer assets, $439 million, $326 million are in sewer assets. So obviously with 18 sewer districts, we have a lot of sewer infrastructure. Our debt's another number I wanted to show you where we have no general fund bonded debt. We do have sewer debt, $152 million, and this debt is what was used to build the sewer districts. And you can get a detail of the debt by issue and district in the back of the financial statements. Here's a pie chart that shows the revenues by sources for the sewer district. They're called business type activities. The largest one being 44% for operating grants and contributions. This includes the assessment fees, which are the fees based on the front foot assessment, which is the charge that pays back us to build the sewer district, the connection fees, and any interest income earned on those. The second charge for services, 30%. This is where the service charges go, which we collect for the operation and maintenance cost of the sewer district. And the third, the capital grants and contributions, 25%. This is where developers' contributions would go on an Ordinance 38 project where the developer puts in sewer to our specifications and turns that infrastructure over to us. These are some of the major sewer projects that we did during the fiscal year, like I was talking about before on the sewer infrastructure paid by developers. That was $8 million. We've done various environmental studies and sewer boundaries extensions. Scruff expansion over $20 million, which increased the capacity of Scruff, which is our South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, from $6 million to $9 million. South Ocean View and Miller Creek went online. And Angola Neck, Johnson's Corner, Oak Orchard expansion, and Gulf Village are all in some stage of planning and design. And in the future, and right now we're working on it, we intend to take full advantage of the federal stimulus package, which will also be add a lot to our sewer infrastructure. To switch gears for a little bit of information on our pension fund, and keep in mind this is as of January 1st, 2008, the last actuarial study. We had 241 vested employees, 121 retirees. At this point, our pension was funded 97.8%, pretty good. And that was due to the high asset returns over the year and a very high contribution level based on what our actuary was determined. The other kind of fund we have, which is probably new for the three of the council members, is the post-retirement employee benefit fund. This is the fund where we have to account for health benefits, like we do on the pension fund for wages. This is for their health benefits, as we offer these benefits to retired employees. This started years ago with a $500,000 contribution, and this is 38% funded. There is a Government Accounting Standards Board that requires us in fiscal year 09 to record the liability in this fund. So we were on the forefront of this and started at funding as we could. We feel we have a very well-structured pension plan. We try to look at the short-term and long-term volatilities. We have an investment policy statement where we follow the guidelines, and we're concentrating on diversification over this year, with adding two new global equity managers. Here's the combining statement of changes in fiduciary net assets, which is our pension fund, the pension trust, and the post-retirement employee benefit trust. We had contributions into the plan for both of these of $9.6 million. We had beneficiary payments to our pensioners of $1.5 million, and at the end of June 30, 2008, the value was $59 million. A look at our debt, just so we can compare the two and again reinforce that we have no general fund bonded debt, which is almost unheard of a government of any size. We do have $162 million in bonds payable and sewer debt, which paid for sewer infrastructure to build the system. This is a schedule of expenditures of our federal audit. As I said earlier, it is a tab, the single audit of the financial statements. Since we get so much federal money, and basically it's for sewer, these transactions not only are subject to the regular audit, but have another little mini audit, the federal audit, that they must comply with. For instance, the federal policies of discrimination, or the drug policies, or the Davis-Bacon wages. From rural development, U.S. Department of Agriculture, rural development, $6 million. Mostly all for sewer. Community development block grants, a federal program, $1 million. That's Bill Lucas's department. Department of Transportation, that's our FAA grant that we use at the airport, $2 million. Department of Homeland Security, we get a little bit, $200,000, and that's our emergency management funds that we use at the Emergency Operations Center, for a total of $14 million that we have in federal expenditures where we'll get grant money. And as a result of that audit, we had no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies, and no noncompliance to the financial statements. So in conclusion, it's a brief highlight. As we approach the 2010 budget, we really don't know where the economic crisis is going to be or how much worse it could fall. And as you already know, we've implemented budget cuts during fiscal year 2009 because we're taking our approach very seriously and realistically. I think we have a firm financial foundation to work from, and together with the cooperation of the other departments, we intend to use our resources wisely. So I don't know if David would like to say a few words.
Thank you. I would like to thank our finance department and our auditors who worked very hard on preparing this report. They've done a very good job, as usual. And this is, as Mrs. Webb noted, this is a quite an accomplishment to complete this report in this manner. We are concerned. Certainly, we, as Mrs. Webb noted, our expenditures exceeded revenues by $3.3 million last year. That was, I can't say that wasn't expected, because we did budget, as Mrs. Webb noted, $4.4 million to use for out of appropriated reserves. Our department expenditures were under budget, and of course our revenues, especially our housing related revenues, were also under budget. So I'd also upcoming year, as Mrs. Webb noted, we will be looking very closely in working on our fiscal 2010 budget. We will be looking at all of our expenditures, and we have taken many steps to date to reduce costs. I would like to thank our employees and our department heads. We have employees who are retraining for other jobs as there is attrition and people leave for whatever reason, we are retraining other employees to fill those positions. We have county employees using county vehicles and on much less often. We're turning lights off. We're taking unpaid days off. We're purchasing less supplies and doing this on a daily basis. With that, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Webb again. Thank you.
I know that's a lot to absorb. Oh, do you have any questions?
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to call me any time, or come to my office if you dig into something and specifically want to know, well, what's this?
Well done.
Thank you.
I do have a question, of course, if I may.
Ms. Stephen, please.
On page 101, you're showing, obviously, that we do have the same tax rate we had back in 1999. Where in 1999 our taxable assessed value as a percentage of actual taxable value was 13.6. That's been steadily decreasing over the years until 2008, where it was merely 6.9%. How does that figure into this budget, forthcoming budget?
The fact that the assessed value
to
has
decrease?
Gone up and the tax rate stayed the same, so that makes it broader and your percentage lower.
Every year. It looks like it's gone down every year.
Well, that's because we base the assessments on 1974
right.
values so that we can be equitable, so that if I build a house exactly like my neighbor's and mine's, 5 years newer than my neighbor's, then we should still be assessed on a comparative basis. So, we have to maintain the assessments based on the value as of 1974 so that we're equitable in how we charge the taxes. So the taxable assessments have actually increased, as you can see in that column, substantially over time.
Right.
But their percentage based on actual property value has decreased because property values, at least in most years, have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cole, have you anything?
No, I think it's a good report. Kind of gives us a good fix on where we're going and where we're heading. I mean, we've got some financial problems, and we're going to have to maybe get creative, in some of these areas. And I mean, little things like turning off the lights are nice, Dave, and stuff like that. But, we got to do something bigger than that. And for years I've talked about, and she brought up property taxes, I brought up if we ever got to the situation where maybe one of the options. And I looked at the pie chart where it showed our revenues off of property taxes and, mm-hmm. and capitation, which is 21%. That's about the only thing that's not economy sensitive, because transfer taxes, charges for services, fire service taxes, all those kind of are affected by the economy. So if the economy stays, you know, in a downward trend for a couple of years, we're going to have to rely more on property and capitation taxes as a guaranteed source of revenue. So I've talked about things like homesteaders exemptions and things like that. Other states do that, especially states that have large second home populations. And I still think we ought to be looking to a homesteaders exemption, which basically if like places like Florida have it, where if that county's your domicile, you get a break on your taxes. And they did that because as taxes went up, you know, the local population was being hurt. And in the past, where we've always tried to avoid, you know, touching that sacred cow, the property tax in this county, because we do hang our hat and we take a lot of pride in having such low taxes, and it's been an attractive situation for most people who want to retire and come in second homes. But we may get to the point where we may have to look at taxes. If we do, I think we ought to be in a situation where we have the ability to maybe impose a homesteader's exemption, which if we had to raise taxes, we could do it and then give an exemption to the people who call Sussex County their domicile. And they do that all over the country, and it's fairly common. And I wouldn't mind, you know, having the staff look into an ordinance, whether we use it or not, but just have the ability to do it. I don't know if we, David or Jim, if we'd have to ask the state legislature for some kind of approval to do that, or could we do that in-house here or at the local level?
Is Mr. Griffin? The idea to create the legal framework for a tax increase?
Well, if we ended up, if we have choices to make, some hard choices, and we may have them, you know.
I think one of the justifications for that type of a, basically a discount for residents, for full-time residents, is that a full-time residents pay state income tax, and so they are contributing towards 40% of paramedic service and state police and whatnot, whereby a non-resident may own property here, but may not be contributing towards, or is not paying income tax necessarily, and is not making a contribution towards state police and paramedics and whatnot, that state services. So that is one of the justifications that I've seen used in other jurisdictions.
Right. Anyway, it's something. In other words, I'd like to be proactive as opposed to we get in a real bind and then we're running around looking for something to do, and we do things maybe that aren't in the best interest of the taxpayers of this county. So,
Mr. Vincent,
okay.
Mr. Vincent, have you any thoughts?
I have read through the whole document. It was quite lengthy, I must say. But I'd like to compliment you and the staff. It's a very good put together. It really is. It's very informative. I would also share with Councilman Cole that maybe what he's talking about is something would merit looking into and some ideas on. And I think we all realize that given the times, there are going to be some tough decisions to be made. And I'm sure by this table is willing to do that, spend the time to do it, and come back with what will benefit the county the best. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
None.
I would like to, of course, compliment our financial department. It's a very thorough report, and I believe we'll be able to approve that here shortly with a motion. I would like to say that we at the county have not in the past looked forward at our revenue projections. The state does it through DFAC, I believe, is their committee. We are moving in that direction. I know that Susie is beginning to give thought to how best to project 2010 revenue as quickly as possible so that we can start to make decisions here prior to the presentation of the budget. A quick look at it with some of the financial folks has led me to believe that we're looking at about $11 million reduction in 2010 revenue over our current budget. We, in the presentation last month, demonstrated about a $7.7 million deficit in the current year. We did make some adjustments, taking aside the capital delays, could leave us with about a $5 million deficit for the current year. When you put that on top of this $3.3 million deficit and the $2.7 million deficit the year before, in those 4 years alone, we may be looking at $22 million that we have to take out of these healthy reserves just to balance our budget. And I don't think that's a sustainable plan. I think we may have to look at structural elements. Some may propose taxes. I would much prefer to look at our spending side. We are at revenues equal to the 2000-2001 level.
Exactly.
We may have to consider our staffing needs if our activities have been reduced. We operated a lot more lean back then because the activity was down. We ratcheted up when we got busy. We're not busy anymore. There's a lot of issues on the table that need to be considered, and this council has got their work cut out for them. Do you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council accepts the June 30, 2008 audited financial statement as presented.
Could I get a motion?
So move you.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Is there any discussion, please?
No, just good job.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
We'd have to keep you, Susan, when you start restructuring.
Thank you, Mrs. Webb.